Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Welcome into the CHGO Blackhawks podcast, presented as always by PointsBet. Use promo code CHGO when you sign up and you'll get two risk-free bets up to $2,000. But that's not all. If you make a $50 or more first-time deposit, you're going to get a free CHGO membership that unlocks all of our great ad-free web content, and you'll even get a free shirt of your choice from the CHGO locker. That's $2,000 in free bets, a free CHGO membership, a free t-shirt like mine right here from the CHGO locker, all for making a $50 or more first-time deposit at PointsBet. We've got Greg Boysen and Mario Tirabassi. Welcome to our first ever CHGO Blackhawks Mailbag Monday. We're going to get to that in the second half of the show. We've got a little bit of Hawks news to get to on May 23rd, which is always a nice thing to say. So, yes. Fellas, I hope you had a nice weekend. Lawrence, welcome back from Hawaii.
Oh, my gosh. I totally forget how to do everything, but yeah, this is exciting.
Hawaii will do that to you.
Yeah. Mai Tais, man. Mai Tais.
Well, so far, so good.
I think we're on.
I think the first 45 seconds have been outstanding.
I've got it on the iPad. We are live, so your mission accomplished.
There we go.
We're good.
All right.
You could take the hula skirt off, though. It's okay.
Well, you know, I thought that and the coconuts you'd enjoy.
Well, that's true.
You can keep the coconut bra on. We're fine with that.
But that's it. All right, so where do we start? I think we should start with the Barry Trotz. I'm going to go, air quotes, news. We saw Friday, Nick Kypreos tweeted that I think he said five or six NHL teams had reached out to Barry Trotz. So I reached out to a handful of my sources and had two of them confirm that, yes, indeed, the Blackhawks were among those teams to reach out to Barry Trotz, doing their due diligence. And they also sort of qualified, one of them qualified it with, they kind of know he's not interested, but they know they have to ask at the same time, and they wanted to ask. And just like we talked about with the GM search, you want to pick as many brains as you can. So if they can get a sit-down with Barry Trotz, whether or not he's interested in the job, I think that's great. And you love to see them not just saying, like, well, he's not going to want to do this. Let's stick with our short little list. So I wouldn't get too excited about it as a Hawks fan. I don't think it's going to happen that he's going to be the next coach of the Blackhawks, but the fact that they're among the teams reaching out means they're doing what they're supposed to be doing, and hopefully he'll at least give them, you know, a few moments of his time to talk to them and chat with them. It can't hurt.
Yeah, I mean, the worst thing he can say is no. Like, right. There's no harm in saying, hey, do you want the job? No. All right, well, thanks. You know, it doesn't have to be anything crazy. I think we all understand. I think most Blackhawks fans understand as well, this is not the enticing job that a person of Barry Trotz's stature and where he's at in his coaching career probably wants to go into. So there's nothing wrong with if he is willing to chat and maybe be swayed one way or the other. Nothing wrong with that. But yeah, I think the Hawks are doing the right thing by reaching out and see what happens. Kicking the tires is the popular term.
Listen, there is nothing wrong with asking one of the greatest defensive minded coaches the game has ever seen, hey, you want to come here and teach our really crappy defenses?
Let me take a look at the roster. No.
There's nothing wrong. Don't. But here's something else that's good, because we've got a really brand new, inexperienced front office. They're trying to gain experience here, too. Go out and talk to guys. Learn how to interview other coaches, other possible front office people. Just like the guys on the ice, the young players on the ice are going to get better by repetitions. They're getting their reps in here by talking to Barry Trotz. Mm-hmm. So there's nothing wrong. He's not coming here. He's not going to take this job. But at least give him the opportunity to say no.
Well, even if Kyle Davidson has the opportunity to talk to him and says, hey, look, thanks for the interview. I'm glad. You know, I hope you'll consider us, yada, yada. By the way, conversely, for the GMs you've played for, what have been some of the things you've liked and haven't liked about certain GMs? What do you value from a GM? What sort of level of involvement? How often should I be around the players? Like, I don't know. I think there's some brain picking to be done that could help Kyle Davidson in this role too, from, again, a guy who's been experienced, been with a lot of high-profile teams in high-profile situations with high-profile GMs like Lou Lamoriello, and the list goes on. What does a GM, in your mind, what is the ideal GM? What is their role day-to-day with you, et cetera? And, hey, it's one man's opinion, but it's one extra opinion that Kyle Davidson has to evaluate.
Yeah, and I think with...
And there's worse men to have an opinion from.
Right,
as well.
Exactly. Absolutely. Yeah. Like, there's... This isn't, you know, they're not considering bringing in... The first person that they're tied to is not some random coach from overseas or... You know, a young assistant that's not really proven or anything like that. Like, they're going to have their name attached, whether it's strong or not, have their name attached to being like, yeah, you know, we talked to Barry Trotz about, you know, the opportunity for it and just see where it goes from there.
Yeah.
You know,
you just subtweet both Alpo Suhonen and Jeremy Colleton in that sentence?
It's what we do here.
Hey, just checking.
That's why I'm
just
in checking. This chair. You know?
There is no subtweeting Jeremy Colleton. His wife is aware of everything tweeted about him. she's very active on Twitter.
Just a quick little question here. Well, not a question, a comment in the chat from Troy. Looking for that Bears podcast that's usually here at 11 o'clock. But
yeah,
we've,
I think we forgot to mention.
Yeah, we've shuffled the deck a little bit.
New showtime. Yeah.
We are now the 11 o'clock brunch podcast. Bears will be coming on after us. 1 o'clock. So a little shuffling of the deck chairs. All right, not today, though. Not today. We have a...
Adam's down with the sickness. Is that what I heard?
Yes, apparently. He must have been at a Disturbed concert last night. Going forward, the Bears will be on at 1 o'clock. I know that's our most popular podcast for all the right reasons.
Yeah.
But the Bears didn't go away. We would be silly to, like, get rid of Bears coverage here at CHGO.
Right. Yeah, so anyway, so Barry Trotz, the call's been made. Whether or not the interview happens, we will see.
Yeah.
But hey, again, there's no downside to this.
No.
You know, it's find out what you can from him, see what he's interested in. Who knows? Maybe he's really excited about Wyatt Kelnick.
Maybe.
Maybe he just really loves the Lincoln Park Zoo.
That could be. And
it's
look,
free, you know.
Barry is a man of my stature. Lots of good food options around here for him. There's a lot of appealing things about Chicago.
There are
off the ice.
Off the
there
ice.
There are way worse cities you could work in than Chicago. Yeah.
That's for sure.
Yes.
The other bit of news is we got wind of this back in April that the Blackhawks had signed defenseman Phillip. Now, according to the press release, it's Rouse, R-O-W-S, or Rose.
Not
I would
Roos.
Say it's Rose. It's not Roos.
Not Roos.
Okay. R-O-W-S. So is it Rois?
Rose?
Maybe it's Rois, because they're dividing it here like it's two syllables. Philip Rois.
R-O-W-S. Rois.
Rois.
Rois. Rois. Okay, we're going to go
with Rois. We'll go with Rois.
Call him Phil.
Call him Phil.
Call him
we got Phil. Phil K.
We'll start with Phil, and then we'll go. We'll get everything correct.
We'll call him Boss.
Yeah. All right, so Philip Rois signs a two-year entry-level contract running through the 2023-24 season. That's a $925K. Cap it. 6'4 defenseman. Skated his first full season in the SHL in Sweden. 1 goal, 5 assists in 50 games. A big dude. 6'4. And Mario, I know you have the quote from Kyle Davidson about Philip Rois.
I got it.
Greg's got it.
Yeah.
He's got it pulled up.
I didn't want to freak you out there. I missed it. No, yeah. This is from Kyle Davidson, who, of course, going to give us some positivity here. Philip is a big body who possesses strong skating abilities for his size. That's a combination of traits that teams across the leagues are always searching for. Philip played valuable minutes in Sweden's top league this season and will strengthen our pool of defensive prospects. To me, this is a zero risk, high reward type of move. You're giving him 2 years to see what he's got at league minimum. Worst case scenario, he fills a hole in Rockford as all those guys start to come up. Best case scenario, you get a guy. You got some size. Mm-hmm. And according to his elite prospects little note, they had a good skater who is sound positionally and an offensive defenseman with good size, hands, strong skating ability. That sounds fun.
Sounds good. That
I'll
sounds
take
like a
6'4" guy that could skate and score goals.
That sounds ideal.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of people are going to hear that one goal, five assists in 50 games. It's really hard to translate
European
stats.
Because remember how everybody used to think Joel Quenneville hated to play young players?
Yeah.
Well, that's actually true in Europe, and then multiply it by 10. Like, if you are under 25, you play 3 minutes a night. Doesn't matter. Like, it's super hard for young guys to get playing time in the European leagues. It's a veteran-driven league. So you can't take those numbers. You got to take those numbers with a grain of salt and go by the scouting reports.
Yeah.
But, hey, you're adding size. Everybody says they need size. They got to have size, and they do. You see playoff hockey. There's some big boys bumping down low. So you add some size to some of their more undersized, talented defensive prospects. Again, worst case scenario, this doesn't work out. You're not investing anything except a little bit of money.
23 years old, by the way. I don't know if I mentioned that. And I like that Davidson says adding him to our pool of prospects.
Yeah.
As opposed to just like putting him on the Hawks right away. Right. They're going to see what he's got. And look, there are many, many open spots on this roster as it is defensively. Probably more to come. I'm sure they're going to let Gustafson walk. It sure feels like Calvin DeHaan's going to go. And then everything else should be pretty wide open. And who knows if they move somebody at the draft and move in. We're going to get to that during our mailbag segment. But somebody like Connor Murphy or Jake McCabe or whoever really could be moved to open up a spot for a prospect they think is ready. So it's going to be a very interesting thing to keep an eye on. But there's your two bits of news for this Monday in May. And like I said, we will take it because there's usually not too much.
Right, yeah.
Blackhawks news in May. So get excited. Philip Rois. Rois? Is that where we're going?
Rois? Let's go with that until
we hear differently.
Until we hear differently.
I will search some YouTube highlights and see how the announcers in Sweden pronounce it.
Good move.
And then butcher it after that.
All right. Well, the best way to support CHGO and our mispronunciations is to download the PointsBet app and use that code CHGO when you sign up. If you do that right now, you're going to get two risk-free bets up to $2,000, but that's not all. If you make a $50 or more first-time deposit, you get a free CHGO membership. That unlocks all of our web content. If you've not been on allchgo.com yet and you're not a member, you're missing out because it's great written content. It's ad-free. It's absolutely beautiful, easy to read, well-written by our huge panel of insiders and beat reporters and experts. It's fantastic. You're also going to get a free shirt of your choice from the CHGO Locker. $2,000 in free bets, a free CHGO membership, and a free shirt from the CHGO Locker. All that for making a $50 or more first-time deposit at PointsBet. If you have any questions about that, by the way, you can send an email, pointsbet@allchgo.com, and we'll get you squared away. It's your home for live in-play betting, and it just got even better. PointsBet's newest feature is live NBA same-game parlays. For the first time ever, you can build the perfect live NBA same-game parlay only with PointsBet. Combine your favorite bets anytime during the game, and if you want more, you can always boost your live same-game parlays. Watch live, parlay live, and boost live with PointsBet. And remember, online sign-up is available right now in Illinois. Take out your phone, download that PointsBet app, and sign up from start to finish. So what are you waiting for? Once the game starts, don't just bet. Live your bet life with PointsBet. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-522-4700.
And if you're really enjoying us at CHGO with the Blackhawks content, with the Bears content, Bulls, White Sox, Cubs, baseball season's fully underway. Red Stars, Fire, Chicago Sky got you covered across the board. Consider becoming a member to continue supporting us at allchgo.com. That unlocks all of our written content. You get a free shirt with your membership, like the one that Jay is wearing. You get access to the members-only Discord, which we jump in from time to time. I'll probably jump in after the show today. Got a couple hours to kill until our softball game tonight, company softball game, going for 2-0. But yeah, it's a great way to support us. It's a great way to be connected to the best coverage in Chicago sports. So consider signing up, becoming a member, and getting all of the perks of being part of the CHGO family.
It's really great. Love this shirt. The shirts are super comfortable.
Very comfortable.
They're this like tri-blend. They're not like the super heavy cotton, like sweat-generating
shirts.
Perfect
for summer.
They are definitely warm weather shirts, as where the weather is finally kind of sort of getting warm around here.
Yeah, they're fantastic. So, all right, shirts. It's time to get to it. It is our first Mailbag Monday show in CHGO Blackhawks history. We're also
the first
podcast ever to do Mailbag Monday. Oh, yeah. No one's ever thought of this before.
Yeah, this is a fresh idea in the world of podcasts.
And the alliteration is what I really like.
I do too.
We all got together.
Yeah, Mailbag Tuesday doesn't sound good.
No, yeah. We got together, had the table full of Chinese food, you know, like the popular meme that's in so much pop culture. We worked really, really hard and came up with this Mailbag Monday. Do not steal that if you're another podcast, all right?
I think this we can try and trademark this.
Our intellectual property, please back off.
Yes.
All right. Sorry, now that that's out of the way, all right? Let's start it with our celebrity question of the week, by the way, coming from our good friends at the Rockford IceHogs. The official, the verified Rockford IceHogs account says, if you could only eat one stadium entree for an entire hockey season, which would you choose? Hot dog / brat, burger, chicken tenders, barbecue pulled pork, nachos, and then they added in a second tweet, pizza. So
I'm glad that we are starting this with the hardest hitting question that we got.
This is the one I'm most stressed about.
Yeah. We may have to like ditch the rest of the questions because we might not have enough time.
Yeah,
to
this
even
might go
this
for
one.
About 40 minutes here.
Yeah, this could be certainly a 40 minute question.
Now it's interesting because I think they left it as ambiguous as stadium entree. So this could be, you know, this doesn't have to necessarily be from one specific stadium. It doesn't have to be from the BMO Harris Bank Center, though it is, you know, a fine establishment. I think out of that list, I am going to go with the... Now, I know that this may be sacrilegious to say, but I'm going with a brat from Miller Park. I'm sorry, American Family Field, or whatever it's called now.
That's fine. I got no issue with that.
You go to Milwaukee, and that is where the brat is going to be best.
I had a horror story brat about that ballpark once. They may have changed it, or maybe I just was at the wrong stand. But I didn't like that it was grilled on a flat top grill. That sucker's got to be on some charcoal.
That's a good point.
So I didn't care for that. And then I ordered cheese fries there, and they put nacho cheese on the French fries in Wisconsin. That ballpark should have been padlocked and condemned at that point. How do you put nacho cheese on cheese fries in Wisconsin?
I mean,
maybe I was
probably
just there on a bad day.
Maybe cost cutting a little bit there, trying to save some money. But
thoughts on the stadium sauce on those brats?
It's fantastic.
Yeah, you got to get that.
I love it.
Yeah.
Whenever I go back to Wisconsin, where I am from, I'll admit that on this podcast.
Well,
I know. It's get out. Well kept secret.
Well,
whenever I head back home, I always try and go to a grocery store that I know carries the stadium sauce, pick some of that up, bring it back across state lines.
Is that legal?
I hope so, otherwise
I'm in trouble. That's how he sneaks in his fireworks. He sticks them in the bottle.
Sticks them in the brats. Yeah. I'm going to go the brat route too, but you don't have to go to Miller Park to get fantastic ballpark brats. The brats at Guaranteed Rate Field, and I'm a Cub fan, the brats at Guaranteed Rate Field are killer. They are almost worth the price of admission. They're that good. So that's what I'm going to go with.
I'm a big fan at the United Center of the Sweet Baby Ray's barbecue turkey sandwich. It is like fresh cut off the breast turkey, and they throw some Sweet Baby Ray's sauce on. It's hot. It comes with fries. I don't know if that concession stand is still there. This was pre-COVID, so the last few times I've been to the United Center, I haven't been hanging out in the concession stand area. But that was my go-to back when I had season tickets.
I'd assume if it's something like that, where it's fresh cut like that,
it was phenomenal.
I would think that would be a fan favorite.
It was very good, but based on like what I've had the last month or so of the season at the United Center, I could live off the pimento cheese dip in the press box. it is every time I see that it's out there, I make sure I get at least two of them. They're phenomenal.
I think I probably added a couple pounds because of the cookie brownies that they have.
The gummy bears don't help. I took down at least a minimum of 118 gummy bears per game.
All right, so there you go.
I mean, I'm going to jump in because, you know, I feel like I'm part of this podcast today, too.
Absolutely.
I mean, I think it depends on the stadium for me.
Yeah. It really does. Yeah.
I mean, if I'm at Wrigley, I definitely need a dog off the flat top grill with the grilled onions. And actually, that kind of goes for the cell as well, or whatever we're calling the thing on the south side, G-rate, whatever, the Joan. And then, like, if I'm at Miller Park, if we're bringing Miller Park up, my favorite thing there is the like hot, like sugary candied nuts that they do, mixed bag of pecans and all that good
stuff. Any stadium that has that and you walk past it, you're going to smell it for a week. It's just the best.
And then if we're talking about the Brewers spring training complex in Merrivale, Arizona, which I know that's exactly on the
top exactly
of your
mind. That's exactly what I was thinking of.
Yeah, yeah.
They have something called Island Noodles where they just take a wok and they throw noodles and like soba noodles and a bunch of vegetables, fresh vegetables, and flip it in a nice sauce. Oh my God, it was like the best thing I ever had at spring training.
I would not think that.
Oh my God, the best.
That would be a baseball staple. That's true.
One last mention. I got to give a shout out to our the Chicago Dogs in Rosemont. Our wonderful social media director Casey's going to be working with them this summer.
Yes.
So check them out if you get a chance in Rosemont. Great little ballpark. Their hot dog stand is the Wiener Circles, also friends of the program. So you can get a Wiener Circle Chicago dog at the ballpark. No chocolate shakes, but they do have the hot dogs.
A lot of children on the concourse. We don't need them acting.
That's okay. Their mascot is a ketchup bottle that flashes you. So apparently, you know, they're a little risque there in Rosemont.
Yeah. There you go.
But good times. You can never go wrong with a Chicago dog at a ball game.
No. All right. I think we all made good picks, and now I'm starving. So let's wrap this up. All right. That's going to do it for now. all right. We got a question here from Will on Twitter with a really good and well thought out question. That's going to make us all think very much about hockey.
Is a hot dog a sandwich?
No, it's not. I'll get to that another time. What are the top three things outside of the draft that Kyle Davidson needs to accomplish in order to consider this offseason a successful first step of the rebuild?
Top three.
Now, number one is hire the coach, right?
Hire the right coach.
And we're not going to be able to answer that question.
No.
Until
we know
for at least two or three
years. Yeah. As soon as they announce it, half the fan base will say it's the worst move ever, and the other half will say Stanley Cup in next year.
Right.
Yeah. So
there's going to be a lot of insert new Blackhawks coach name here parody accounts,
right?
Stan accounts, all that stuff.
Right.
Not Bowman, but
yeah, no, there are
what
none
the
of
kids
those.
Use the word Stan for.
There are no Stans anymore.
Yeah. I think one of the biggest things he needs to accomplish is to lay the foundation for the culture he wants.
Yeah.
You got to get your guys that you kind of already identified as guys who are going to be here for a while. You have to get them to buy in. You got to get them to become part of this culture. That was a buzzword that he said a lot during that little meet and greet they had last week at the United Center with the front office. You heard that a lot. We want to establish a culture. That was huge with the Cubs.
Yep.
And now you got Jeff Greenberg, who was part of that. You want your guy from the day they're drafted to the day he gets to the NHL to be on the same page as everybody else. So all those steps along the way are fluid and seamless. And that's going to be the most important part, is getting that culture, the seeds of that culture planted this summer.
Yeah, I agree with that. I also think one thing that he needs to do in terms of like transactionally is try to acquire as many assets as you can. And that sounds like trade picks for more picks, but it might be trading more picks for higher picks, right? Because I'll take a first over a second and a third, right? So it's not so much volume of assets, but the one thing he said during that meet and greet, whatever you want to call it, thing last week that had any sort of certainty to it was that he would like to get into the first round this year. And I think he's looking for ways to do that. Mm-hmm. And what those ways are remain to be seen. But that is gathering assets. And yes, it might cost you two picks for one or three picks for one, but a first round pick is a better asset. And picking on day one is a better asset. So if that doesn't work out, take some of the veteran guys you have that you know aren't really going to make or break the team next year. and try to get some picks for them. And try, you know, those are the ways that you can accelerate this rebuild is by taking, getting more lottery tickets, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. So there's a lot of ways to add assets. I think that that is the thing you should be looking to do right now. That is sort of step one of the rebuild, is figure out what veterans you want to keep, which ones you want to get rid of, and try to maximize the return for those you can move.
Yeah.
I think that's kind of common sense, but he said outside of the draft, so I think, yeah, culture is huge. Get the coach, get assets. Those are the three. And I think culture might be number one on that. And that and the coach kind of go hand in hand.
Yeah, and I think the culture thing, that's coming not just from Kyle Davidson. I think that's also coming from, you know, Danny Wirtz, Jamie Faulkner, the messages that they've been, along with Kyle Davidson, the messages that they've been putting out there since, you know, everything that happened last summer and transpired throughout the season. I think the culture thing is not only in the locker room, but around the organization. And that's, you know, from the top down, you need to have, especially in a rebuild, an organizational buy-in. And from what we heard last week at the meet and greet, the organizational buy-in is there with the people that are already in house, which is what you need. You need everyone on the same page. I think the culture thing is a great point. I think, you know, within the culture aspect of it, I think you also have, Kyle Davidson will have to present the style of team he wants to build. You know, the kind of players that they're looking for. Speed is the biggest thing that he mentioned. Going into, you know, this offseason and what they're going to be looking for to add to the team. I think what we've seen in the previous draft and a couple players that they've brought up, young players, is size. Alec Grula, Alex Vlasic, Philip Rouse now coming in. Like, those are three defensemen who have been put into the lineup of young defensemen coming up. All of them are big guys, and all of them can move well for their size. So I think that that's kind of what we're seeing a little bit now of it, adding speed and adding some size defensively. So it'll be interesting to see, you know, through free agency, what Davidson plans to do to put together a lineup that's going to start the rebuild. So that'll be interesting. And I think all of this kind of ties together with establishing the culture, the lineup, the type of team that they want to put together, and trying to get young future assets, whether it's picks or young prospects. I think a lot of that could be tied to the futures of Jonathan Toews and Patrick Kane. And I think that those are things that this summer, I'm firmly believing that their paths, whether it's in Chicago just for a year or beyond that, or not in Chicago, those paths need to be defined this summer. And I think if the organization can understand, if the fan base can understand where their paths are going to be in the rebuild from this summer, I think that can make the rest of that can help the rest of the dominoes kind of fall into place, whether that's moving them for potential picks, assets, whatever it is, or if it's those two guys buying in and saying, we want to be part of this rebuild. If Jonathan Toews wants to accept the leadership role of a rebuild and probably swallow some pride and accept an extension that's less than what he has gotten in the past, I think that that's an important thing that they're going to have to figure out if they're going to rebuild with them or without them.
And I think the one thing we need to have cautionary for Hawks fans this summer, we won't know if this summer was successful or not until 2 or 3 years from now.
At least.
So let's not declare this summer a failure or knocked it out of the park until we know, because this offseason is going to set up the next couple off seasons. He's got a lot of damage control, a lot of
cleanup duty.
Yeah, it's like he's like the guys that get hired to clean up like the most gruesome crime scenes. that's his job this summer. He's that guy that shows up to clean out the gruesome crime scene so that apartment can get rented again the next week. That's what he's got to do.
Yeah, that's a gross comparison, but yeah. I will say also accurate. Got one on Twitter from Z Rosie. Are there any cap dump trades you would like to see the Hawks pull off to gain more assets, something in the same vein as the Bickle and Tavo to Carolina trade.
I don't want to do any of that.
Sorry. When you look at the roster, there's not a ton of like overpaid veterans aside from Taves and Kane. Tyler Johnson makes $5 million for the next two seasons after this one.
You can stomach that.
You can stomach that. Seth Jones is almost immovable.
Yeah.
Jake McCabe makes $4 million for the next 3 years. That's one you can consider dumping. Yeah. The other one here is Connor Murphy. And this is going to be an interesting conversation this offseason. $4.4 million until 2025-26. That is an absolute bargain.
It is.
If Connor Murphy can stay healthy. And that is a question, right?
Yeah.
But for that money, for a defenseman of that caliber, that's a very enticing trade to make for a team that's looking to win, looking to add some defense for a low cap hit, and a team that's ready to win now might be willing to give you a prospect and or a pick or two to make that deal happen. I don't necessarily want to move Connor Murphy, but if you're getting another really big return for him, you absolutely consider it.
Yeah. For sure. I think he's one of the defensemen that between Murphy and McCabe, who their cap hits are similar. Their term is close. But Murphy is obviously the more, attractive asset out of the two, going off of, you know, recent seasons, especially, you know, this past season. His health is a little bit of a concern. I'm glad that they just said, no, you're done for the rest of the year. They didn't push him back for any reason.
Smart.
But I think in the same breath, Murphy really seems like a player that Davidson and the Blackhawks would want to keep around, because he's one of the leaders of the team. He has a very positive impact on the locker room, and we just talked about, you know, setting culture. I think Connor Murphy is one of the players that I think the Blackhawks, I get the sense that they want to keep around to have a good culture, and to be a guy who has been on bad teams and rebuilding teams before with Phoenix or Arizona, and he has the ability to stomach that.
Right.
Whether he wants to continue to do that, probably not. But I mean, he has the ability to do that. He's seen it. And he knows how to kind of navigate that as a veteran. And he's been with Chicago for longer than even I realize sometimes. So he's very established within the team. And I think that goes a long way, especially for a team that's going to be rebuilding, going to be young, and going to be having people probably come in for a little bit and leave while they get the young players ready to go. And so it's interesting whether you can get enough in a Murphy trade for Murphy is interesting to balance against what I think how I feel the organization views him as a person that they want in the locker room and can be serviceable on a nightly basis.
And if you talk about culture, that is a 1A kind of guy to have in your organization.
Right, absolutely.
Yeah. So that'll be a tough decision for Davidson to make, what he values more, what Murphy brings to this young team, especially a team that's going to have a lot of young defensemen. Or does he value what he could potentially bear on the trade market? Those are the tough decisions. A lot of people just say, that's an easy trade. Trade him, get the picks. But
yeah,
there's a lot of value than just what shows up on the score sheet for a guy like Connor Murphy.
And I'll point the thumb at myself sometimes, that my brain works in like the NHL 22 version, where it's like player for player. But that stuff does matter. And you can't just go 100% young. I was listening to another podcast this weekend. They're like, why aren't all the Ice Hogs up here? It's like, for what? To lose every game 6-1, destroy their confidence, make everyone miserable? Like, you can't do that. Yeah. A rebuild doesn't just mean your whole team is young and you go 0-82. That's not a path to success. It's just not. Development is part of it, and you need veterans to fill out those spots. And Connor Murphy's a great example. And look, was it Davidson or was it McIver that said, look, when kids are ready to come up, then we'll consider those moves, right? Then we'll move out those veterans when we've got someone ready to take a spot. That's how a rebuild is supposed to work.
Mm-hmm.
You develop. When the players develop, then you look to move the veteran. Then you reload some assets. You've got young guys playing, and that's how the cycle keeps going,
right?
It's not just go 100% young or go 100% old. That's just not how it works.
I always find it kind of funny that it's a lot of the same people that have spent the last 10 years, and rightfully so, bitching that the Hawks can't develop young players, but then in the next breath, get all the young players up here now. You can't do it both ways.
No. It's
that now is the time for patience.
Total disaster if you do that. One from the Discord here, and if you want access to our Discord, become a member at allchgo.com. This is from Sung. Sung says, rumor mill has the Blackhawks trying to trade back into the first round of the upcoming draft. Depending what prospect we're aiming for, how much would it likely cost to do so? That's a really good question, and it's sort of hard to tell. I think it's unlikely the Hawks have the assets to get like a top 10 pick in this draft.
That's yeah, unless you're moving
Patrick Kane
or
DeBrincat.
DeBrincat, yeah.
That's about it.
That's about it where you're going to get back into the lottery range in the first round. I think I think we have another question regarding the young defenseman, but I'll bring it into this discussion. I think what we're looking at with the young defenseman coming up, not all of them are going to be playing in the NHL with the Blackhawks when everything is said and done. There will be some players, I don't know specifically who, but there will be some out of the group that will be looked at more as, you know what, this player is developing well, they're young, they're coming up, but we have only room for two out of these four or two out of these three, whatever it is. And maybe they look at it as the odd man out as, okay, we like him. He's developed well. He could be playing in the NHL with us, but we only have so many spots. And they reach out to a team that says, hey, you know, we're interested in player XYZ. I think we could, as soon as this summer, see something like that play out. I mean, we saw players like Alec Regula and Alex Vlasic and Ian Mitchell pretty much establish themselves as some of the top young defensemen that will be gunning for some of the open spots that'll be you know, with the Blackhawks blue line this upcoming season. I think you look at a player like Isaac Phillips, Jakob Galvis, like these guys are coming up and have developed well. Some of them just are going to end up being trade pieces. So I don't know if they garner first round picks, but I think you could look at a young player who's coming up, who probably could be seeing some NHL time as a trade piece to kind of, you know, you might entice a team in a package with, you know, a second round pick or a third round pick to say, hey, like maybe we can get a late first round pick for one of those young defensemen. You package another pick in and see what happens.
Yeah, they don't have a ton of assets to give up for one of those picks, or at least they shouldn't. They're not in a position to be giving up a ton of assets either.
It depends on right. if there's a first round talent that they know they want to have,
yeah. And I'm okay with that. The trade to get in the first round just to say you got a first round pick, that's a little silly to me. But that one of those young defensemen, yeah. It's a numbers game. You got all these guys that could be NHL defensemen, but you only have six roster spots, and Seth Jones is here until, you know, the next century. So, you know, every prospect you got at this point is an asset.
Right,
they're currency at this point. Some of them may develop and be good players for you, or you can use them to get other things you need. So that's a possibility. The trade, you've got a whole bunch of extra second and third round picks this season. You got those two extra first round picks from Tampa in 23 and 24 that right. you got for Brendan Hagel. So maybe you package that 2024 first round pick and one of these defensemen to get into the first round, but only do it if there's a guy that you see that you know is exactly what you need mm-hmm. for your plan. Don't just do it to do it.
Right.
There's plenty of great talent in the second.
Don't
and
move
third
a guy round. To get the 30th or 31st pick. Like,
right.
Like but if you're going to get in there, you got to get in
the 15, 16 range, and it's a guy yeah. you are that you just love and you know is going to be a star for a long period of time, then you give it up.
Yeah, like if a team's on the clock and the guy you want is still there and you're like, we can get into the spot, mm-hmm. then you think about it. I don't think, you know, just getting one, like you said, for the sake of it. No,
giving up Isaac Phillips to get the 29th overall pick is not worth
and
it.
And just
to
see who might be there at that yeah. time. Yeah,
right.
I tend to agree with that. By the way, on the chat, we had someone bring up a big Swede that the Hawks signed in the past. This is from Dan. He says, a few years back, the Hawks signed a tall Swede. He played like a dude half the size. I forget his name.
Victor Svedberg.
Yep.
6'7". 6'8", 234.
His birthday is coming up this week. You can figure that out by...
Birthday's tomorrow.
If you check out my This Week in Blackhawks History column on allchgo.com, you would know that the giant Swede defenseman is turning a year older tomorrow. Don't go to Twitter and say anything bad about him because his brother will try and fight you. That's all I
really.
That's all I guess.
All right.
I was threatened by his brother because I had the nerve to say he made a bad defensive play in a game.
Interesting.
Mm. Yeah. So
okay. Well, about as physically as Henrik Borgstrom, if I recall correctly.
Yeah.
For a guy that big.
Yeah. Yeah. He was very tall. And very tall.
Yeah.
All right.
Looked good in the uniform, though.
He did. Got one here from Ted on Twitter. He says, what goalie reclamation projects might be out there? And this is going to be, this will be a big offseason topic for us. The whole goalie thing.
Yeah. Well, this is the whole podcast. The whole goalie situation.
Well, we can do this quickly. I'm going to name some of the veteran goalies that are out there, and let's see how all this moves the meter. Of course, there's Marc-Andre Fleury. Don't think that's
happening. He's not coming back.
Who? Mikko Koskinen.
No.
Darcy Kemper.
Colorado is probably going to keep him around.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thomas Greiss.
Mm. Is he, how old is he?
Not as old as the next guy on the list, Yaroslav Halak.
Ooh. Probably, no.
Corey Schneider. With
Greiss
no
is 36.
Does he do anything for you?
No.
Braden Holtby?
Mm.
Maybe. Martin Jones?
Does he stay in Dallas? That's a good question.
Martin Jones is out there.
No, he doesn't have to be.
Jack Campbell's on this list, but I think
Toronto
is going to
stay. I think
David Rittich,
no,
and Casey DeSmith,
no.
Those are your top free agent goalies. So, here's something I would do. If you want a goalie reclamation project where you can in getting those assets we were talking about, call Toronto, and say, hey, we will take Peter Mrazek's contract off your hands for the next 2 years. What do you want to throw in there to sweeten that deal?
Does Kyle Dubas answer that call?
They made up. They're buddies.
Are they?
They're Kyle bros now.
Kyle bros.
Good Lord. That whole thing is laughable.
Well,
it still annoys me.
It is the Maple Leafs.
But
so
I do agree that that is worth a call to make. For sure.
Listen, Peter Mrazek is, when healthy, is a starting NHL goalie.
Mm-hmm.
So here's how I would say, we're going to do a whole podcast on this soon, but I say you bring back Kevin Lankin on a cheap one-year prove-it deal, you get Mrazek, and you get that asset, you get that draft pick or that prospect that comes, and those are your 1A, 1B for next season. Mm-hmm. They could be good, they could be hot garbage. But if they're hot garbage, then you increase your chances to one of those top three picks.
Yeah, if they're garbage, it won't matter.
Exactly. Without saying it publicly, you kind of sort of want them to be.
Right.
But Mrazek is good. There's an asset to flip at the trade deadline. Everybody needs a goaltender
at
the trade
deadline.
If
either of them
are. And Mrazek's deal is not, I think there's one more year beyond this, but it's not an awful deal. It's under $4 million a year.
3.6, I want to say. If I'm remembering.
So that's not terrible to take on at a trade deadline deal. And then you can even sweeten that a little bit and say, we'll retain half the cap for next year because you can.
Yeah.
So there are a lot more pros and cons than rolling the dice on a Peter Mrazek. And then, you know, I think you do Toronto a solid there, and then that builds up that, you know, relationship that's so scarred and tainted.
God, it's so weak. What a clown. I used to have a lot of respect for Kyle Dubas, but after that, like, come on, man. Like,
you know what?
It's Toronto. It's going to get out.
Yeah.
The story's going to get out.
The fact that he was just, like, upset that information got out, it was like, dude, it came from Dreger. He's literally in your backyard.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The guy from TSN doesn't have sources in Chicago. He's got them in Toronto.
Yeah, exactly. Right. Yeah.
I got one here from Jason from Twitter. He says, if you're the Blackhawks and you're drafting to shore up organizational depth, what positions or maybe even roles are you looking to focus on this year and the next?
Center.
Yeah.
Down the middle. Watch the playoffs.
Center.
Games are won and lost down the middle.
I think someone also sent us a question about the center depth. I don't think we're gonna
but they
really
mentioned
get to it.
Strom, Doc,
Reichel, Taze. It's like, it's but Strom, Doc, Reichel
are all unproven centers.
It's
not Strom.
Strom, I think, is legitimately a center in the NHL.
Doc is not.
Doc, I think he should be on the wing. And Reichel, TBD. Right. He can play both.
That's not great center depth.
No, it's not. And behind Reichel, what do you have?
Nothing.
Evan Barrett? Right, exactly. The way Greg is saying that proves the point. So, yeah, organizational depth.
And he didn't
depth,
even play center most of the season.
No, organizational depth at center is got to be addressed. Yeah. And I think in this year's draft, the easiest thing that we could – the easiest solution to that that could have happened was winning the top pick and getting Shane Wright. Obviously, it didn't happen. So now you got to get a little bit creative, and you got to rely on your scouting department to say, hey – who's someone, if they don't get in the first round, who is someone in the second round that we can go out and say, who is a center that, one, plays, I think when you look at the Blackhawks and you look at, when you look at the NHL and centers that are successful, you got to be able to have a little bit of size, you got to be able to skate well, you got to have a good, you know, good head on your shoulders, have a good hockey sense and think the game well. And I think some of the best centers in the league are, you know, if you're not Connor McDavid, you got to be able to be sound defensively and, you know, be able to, you know, provide at both ends of the ice. Yeah, so if there's someone in the second round that can check all those boxes, they don't have to be Patrice Bergeron year one. But if there's someone that can check all those boxes and you can develop as another center that will come up through the organization as someone that you can point to and say they do a little bit of everything right, that's a good first step.
I think you could draft at least two of those guys this draft. At least.
You need
guys up front.
And the good thing about getting young centers is if you stockpile, say you draft three or four young centers this draft, that's fine because it's easier to figure out if a center – If someone played center in junior or in college or whatever, it's easier to move them to a wing than to have a wing and say, oh, we're going to try and shoehorn you into center. That doesn't work.
Yeah. No, it's time to get some center depth, any depth up front. They got none right now.
Yeah.
But start in the middle and work your way out. Watch the Stanley Cup playoffs. You got to play defense to win in the look at what the Tampa Bay Lightning are doing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Here come the Florida Panthers, president winning trophy, offensive dynamo team, and they are getting shut the F down.
Yes, they are.
Because the Tampa Bay Lightning played team defense. That's how the Blackhawks won those three Stanley Cups. This is a lesson that the Panthers are learning the hard way right now. This is a lesson that's been shoved down the Toronto Maple Leafs' throat for the past 6 years, but they refuse to acknowledge that you got to play really good defense. Mm-hmm. Tampa Bay's showing it. They've had one of their best postseason performers of the last two seasons. Braden Point hasn't been on the ice this series with an injury, and they are likely to sweep the Florida Panthers out of the second round because they play defense. So start their defensive-minded centers. You can never have too many of them.
Agree. All right, we got one more here that's a little bit more complex. This is from Bears and Hawks. He says, I love your podcast, but I'm confused about the rebuild value of things. Number one, why keep Dylan Strome? Trade his rights. Wouldn't they be higher now than they have been since we gave him his last bridge deal? And number two, keep qualify re-sign for a year. Dominic Kubalik, isn't his value lower than ever before? If the Hawks trade Strome, put Taves as center number one, it boosts Taves' value for the trade deadline, eat half his contract, and actually get something of value for him. That gives you a top six of Kane, Kat, Taves, Johnson, Kubalik, Kurashev, Reichel, etc.
More than six?
Yeah, it was just kind of going through the dash, slash, like, top six. We were just talking about their lack of center depth, and I think trading Dylan Strome puts you in a really bad spot when it comes to center depth.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's even something they can consider at this point because Doc can't win a faceoff. You don't know what you've gotten, Reichel. We just went through the whole thing. There's no one in the organization to step up and take that job. The Kubalik thing is interesting, and I would be interested to see what it would take to bring him back because I do think he's better than he played last season. He's probably not as good as he was as a rookie. He's somewhere in between there. But I do agree that Kubalik's value is probably lower than it's ever been.
It's the lowest it'll be. Hopefully it's the lowest it'll be, but yeah, it's the lowest it's been since he's been within the team.
So I have no problem bringing him back regardless of what happens with Strome. I don't have a problem bringing Kubalik back and say, let's see what we can get. Let's see what you've got.
I don't think you can bring him back at what his RFA offer is going to be, which is $4 million plus. Like, I don't think you can do that.
No, he's not getting that anywhere.
So if you can go to him and say, we believe, like you said, we believe you're better than you showed last year, but we can't pay you $4 million a year for 2-3 years or whatnot. If they can go to him for a short-term deal at an agreeable price, you know, $2 million or $3 million or whatever, it can't be the value that he's just given. It's got to be the value that he's going to bring. If he can agree to that, because I don't know what the free agent market's going to look like for him if he's not qualified, given his performance the last two seasons. If he can agree to that, I'm fine with that as well. But I don't think you can bring him back and say, yeah, you did everything we expected. Here's your qualifying offer. Like, I don't think that would work.
And to just touch on Dylan Strome, and I agree with all of that. I'm okay with Dominik Kubalík on a team friendly contract because, you know, that could be a tradable asset. There's value to keeping Strome too because he's still at an age where he could still be a very big contributor when this team is a playoff team again. He's not like we're talking about a 28, 29-year-old guy. This is a guy that has yet to play his best hockey in this league. And he plays center. And he played center very well.
Yeah.
He was for most of your season, your best face-off guy, which is it just blows my mind to say that, considering how bad it was.
Would not have put a points bet.
And that gives me a little bit of hope that Kirby Doc may actually be able to figure this out one day because Dylan Strome was pretty bad at the dot. But all of a sudden, he became one of your most reliable guys. There's still a lot of value to bring him back. But again, it's going to be much like Kubalík. What's the value? What's the long-term contract look like? Maybe Davidson decides, yeah, it is worth it more to see if I could trade his rights than what he brings. But you got to have someone win faceoffs the next couple of seasons. Yeah. And right now, a team without Dylan Strome taking draws, it's not pretty.
By the way, on the Kubalík thing, remember last year the Hawks had Pia Suter on a one-year deal. He was a restricted free agent. They did not qualify him. He became an unrestricted free agent, signed a two-year deal with Detroit for $3.25 million. Mm-hmm. So that's, I would say it's probably comparable to what Kubalík would look like as an unrestricted free agent, something along those lines. I think he's proven to be an NHL scorer a little more than Suter had at that point.
But Suter had, you know, for a Blackhawks team that didn't have a ton going well for them last season, he was one of the things that was like, he was one of the players that was like, oh, he showed up pretty well.
Especially against Detroit.
Yeah, so that probably helped. Yeah. I think he signed that deal with an upward trajectory. Kubalík is coming in with a downward trajectory into free agency. So, I think it's somewhere in that range.
Now, correct me if I'm wrong. They can let him, they can not qualify him, let him explore the market.
And still get him.
And then get him back.
Yeah, they could.
Absolutely.
Then I think that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah,
if Kyle Davidson could lay out, you know, the structure of doing that and sell him on, hey, we would like to give you this deal, but not, you know, you're not qualify it. If he's okay with that would be the route to go. I don't know if there's going to be a team, you know, that's going to outbid the Blackhawks for him, depending on what the deal would be. But they could take that approach for sure.
All right. Well, that was a really great first episode of Mailbag Monday. We appreciate all your questions. Feel free throughout the week to hit us up on Twitter. All of our social accounts. I'm at Jay Zawoski. Greg's at Greg Boyson. Mario's at Mario_Tirabassi. You can tweet us at the CHGO_Blackhawks account. We've got an email account, blackhawks@allchgo.com. Hit us up on the Discord. We're going to do our best to keep track of all these. So every Monday, we can plow through them and get your questions answered. We appreciate that. We got a little more to get to before we wrap up, but Greg's got something in his coffee mug he wants to tell you about.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, now that it's brunch with the Blackhawks every day here, it's a perfect opportunity to get your Strava craft coffee brew. I know the region Rev already said she's got hers, and our fearless leader Kevin is drinking his as well. Because you know why? Because it is a game changer, and it is a fantastic product. Strava CBD coffee has helped thousands of people improve their overall wellness and quality of life, including a lot of us right here sitting in this office today. Strava delivers delicious, fresh roasted specialty coffee infused with organic broad spectrum CBD. CBD from hemp doesn't make you high or hungry, but it does offer real benefits that can help you, such as feeling more alert, and focus without the jitters. You can live your day more balanced with less anxiety and fewer aches and pains. That's the best part right there. Plus, including CBD in your daily routine can even help you enjoy a more restful night of sleep so you wake up feeling your best. The best part is that Strava, everything is about quality. It is small batch, fresh coffee shipped straight to your door. It's delicious coffee, and it has all the benefits of full-spectrum concentrated CBD for those looking to use that effects in your life as well. And also, CHGO listeners can save 25% off their entire purchase. That's a whole quarter off your bill just by using the promo code CHGO25 at checkout. That's 25% off your entire order at StravaCraftCoffee.com when you use that promo code CHGO25 at checkout. And if you already love Strava, and dagnabbit, you should by now.
Yes.
You can subscribe and save when you become a member of the Strava Coffee Club. With Strava, they put you in total control. You can save on all your favorite flavors of coffee and concentrations of CBD and have them automatically delivered to your home with no worries, or your office. You want to send them to work, they'll get it there exactly when you choose. So it doesn't get any easier than that. Great product over there at Strava. And we will be rocking the Strava a lot with these 11 a.m. starts going forward.
It's
going
to be crucial to getting through these early morning shows.
That morning commute, it comes with a cup of Strava in the cup holder these days.
It helps with traffic as well.
You know, I got to say, this is something I've noticed on the Eisenhower. I know it's legal now, but people will just puff away on whatever type of product they want on the highway. Is that legal?
I don't think you should. I think it's like
you could still get a DUI.
That seems not legal to me.
The little electronic boards all over the highway say, "Drive high, get a DUI." Yeah. So while doing it is legal, doing it while driving, highly illegal and also highly stupid.
Treat it like booze.
No pun intended.
Yeah.
But I love when there's those cars that'll drive by you and you're like, "Whoa."
Yeah.
Yeah.
So a party going on in there.
Just got passed by the Cypress Hill tour bus.
Yes.
So yeah, official message, don't do it while you drive.
No.
Yeah.
But Strava is not there's no cannabis in Strava. Thing. So you can drink CBD coffee and drive.
CBD coffee will help you yell less at the
exactly.
At the less
pudwack that didn't use his turn signal to cut you off.
Leave Tony D'Angelo out of this. Speaking of Pudwax, Mario's got something on his mind.
Yeah, I just wanted to address this before we go over the weekend between the NHL playoffs, but also what Tim Anderson had to endure this weekend playing against the Yankees from Josh Donaldson, and we've seen racial incidents in sports, racially charged incidents in hockey way too often.
Yep.
This weekend, Nazem Kadri was involved in a collision that injured Jordan Binnington in the Avalanche and St. Louis Blues game, and it came to light that Kadri had been getting a lot of threats and just racially charged comments towards him. It's not something that is new to him in his career, unfortunately. And it's not something that is new to hockey for non-white players. It's incredibly overabundant, and it's incredibly disheartening. And it's something that the hashtag hockey is for everyone. I just shake my head because it's not. And right. There's a lot to go, not only in hockey but in sports. And I know the White Sox podcast today, I'm sure they're gonna talk at length about the incident between Tim Anderson and Josh Donaldson and just. It's uncalled for.
Absolutely.
It's a terrible thing within sports and within society to think that those things are okay and to go after someone, over an incident that, you want to talk about intentional back history of play on the ice, things like that. You can have that conversation without bringing in, racist things attached to Kadri, and it's just I can't believe that we're in 2022 and we're still dealing with this, and it's things have awareness and people pointing it out and standing up against it within sports and society, I believe, is going in the right direction. But we have a long way to go before hockey is for everyone is actually a true statement.
Yeah, I put out a thing real quick. I know we're up against the clock here, but I retweeted the Kadri thing, and quote tweeted it, love the sport, hate the culture. And I had someone say, well, that's a dangerous blanket statement. There are all hockey fans welcome in every, and I said, okay, first of all,
that's not true.
That's totally that's not true. And yes, you are right. There are more good people than awful people in the sport of hockey. But until all those good people stand up and say, that's wrong and we don't want it here, this is going to continue. So we just can't sit here and hope that, you know, peace and love and lollipops and sunshine are going to win out at the end. We got to stand up and say, this isn't right. One racist, one bigot, one homophobic person in the sport is one too many.
Yeah.
So yes, there are more good people than bad people in the sport. There are more good people than bad people in the world.
Yep.
But it's up to us as the good people to stand up and say this is not acceptable.
And that's not just hockey. It's not just sports. It's every aspect of society.
Every office, every bus you get on, everywhere.
When you see something bad, the good people need to say something and be a part of the fix and not just sit back and sit on their hands and not say anything.
Silence enables the ugliness.
That's right.
And it makes it stronger.
That's right. So, all right. Well, I'm glad you said that, Mario.
Yes.
It was an important thing to say. All right. Tomorrow we're debuting a new, tomorrow's going to be like, Tuesday's going to become our fun day of the week. It's going to be called Top Shelf Tuesday.
All of the days are fun, Jay.
They're all fun, but we're going to do something fun and unique every Tuesday. Tomorrow, we're each going to draft our own lineup built of players currently in the playoffs, but there's a catch. We can only take one player per team. So we're going to draft center, wing, DD, goalie. But we can only pick one Oiler, one Flame, one Avalanche, et cetera, et cetera. Should be a lot of fun. Join us for that. And a little bit of Connor McDavid discussion tomorrow, too, because that dude is doing some stuff.
He's good at the game.
That kid's got a future.
He might be good someday. He might be good someday. All right, so we're going to wrap things up. Thanks to Lawrence for producing, as always. I know the mailbag shows are a bit of a challenge getting all the graphics up there, so thank you.
We put him right to the test after his week in Maui.
Yeah, I, you know.
Welcome back. We missed you here, buddy.
I was a little hazy, you know, but it's all good.
We wanted to get you right back into the flow of things, so we appreciate it. And just a reminder, we're presented by PointsBet. Use that promo code CHGO when you sign up to get 2 risk-free bets up to $2,000. Make sure you're subscribed on your podcast apps. Make sure you like the Facebook page. The CHGO Sports Facebook page. And subscribe to the YouTube channel. Turn on those notifications on all so you know when we're live. We'll talk to you Tuesday at 11 a.m. for Top Shelf Tuesday on the CHGO Blackhawks podcast.
You know, if you haven't checked out What Chaos yet, you oughta, because we've had all your favorite players on the show. I'm talking Seth Jones, Linus Solmark, Connor Bedard, whoever it may be.
We're live every day on YouTube at noon Eastern, but also available on all podcast platforms, including the one you're listening to right now.
We got guests, and yeah, we're also doing a bit of chit-chat, goofing around, laughing at what makes us laugh in hockey.
So regardless of how deep you are into your hockey fandom, come listen to What Chaos. We'll talk about your favorite team. We'll talk about your least favorite team and everybody in between. And we're having a ton of fun doing it every single day, Monday through Thursday. It's What Chaos, presented by All City Network.